We just heard some of the words shared in that final song. This must be the greatest story told, though it's over 2 millennia old, telling of a holy baby's birth, telling of God's love for all the earth. It's a story that you can't really escape the fact that it's a story that's been told for the best part of 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, people have been telling this story. And as Kath said, we've told it in a slightly different way this morning and done slightly different things. And we like to do that and take a different take each year, because it's been a story that's been told for so long. It's a story that's been told since the shepherds themselves. We read in Luke chapter 2 about the shepherds. They hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. So from the shepherds who ran away from having met Jesus to go and tell other people, people have been telling this story ever since then. One of the questions we get asked when we do Christmas Unwrapped, we have a whole bunch of year six pupils coming here. It was just a few weeks ago. We had about 500 year six pupils in over a week. And we give them the opportunity to ask any questions that they might like to ask about the Christmas story. And one of the ones we get sometimes is, when was Jesus born? And because I'm awkward, I like to answer a question with a question. And I say, well, what year is it today? And then there's a slightly concerning pause before someone says, 2018. And I say, well, 2018 years since what? And then there's a more understandably long pause as they go, I've never thought about that. Why is it the year 2018? And then sometimes they don't get the answer, and sometimes there's one or two that maybe clock on and go, what? Or figure it out just from my being awkward and the questions that I'm asking. They go, 2018 years since Jesus was born. And I say, yeah, 2018 years. In fact, someone since the year that at one point they thought that Jesus was born. 2018 years ago. And a whole bunch of people decided that the birth of Jesus was such an important thing, such an amazing thing, that we were going to count all the dates starting at zero when Jesus was born and going upwards. And all the dates before that we're going to count in reverse, just to make it really confusing for those who aren't any good at history, that the dates start going up again. And you can see year six at that point going, what, the date's going backwards? Because I'm not sure they've always worked out that bit in history yet. It's been told for 2 millennia. And how great a story is it? Well, perhaps one way we can understand how great a story is it by looking at how many copies of the Bible have been sold. The Bible is one of the best-selling books ever, is the best-selling book ever. It's quite hard to work out how many copies of the Bible have been printed and have been sold, but it's thought that over 5 billion copies, that's five with a lot of zeros, copies, have been sold of the Bible. And the Bible is one of the books in the world that's been translated into the most languages. The whole Bible is in 349 different languages. And there's probably plenty of people here this morning who've got the Bible in different languages from around the world. And parts of the Bible, whether it's the whole New Testament or a book of the Bible, over 2,100 languages have at least one book of the Bible in their own language. It's the greatest story, the story in the Bible, that's been all over the world and for all sorts of different people. But why? Why is it a story that has been told so much? Why is it a story that we tell again and again and again? Well, one of the books in the Bible, the book of John, which tells us the whole story about Jesus, gets right towards the end of it and tells you why it is he's written all of this down. The end of John chapter 20 says this: Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That actually the story of Jesus, the story we've talked about this morning, is written that we might understand who Jesus is, that we might come and know that Jesus is the Messiah, is the Savior, and is the Son of God. As the angel said to Mary in the song they were singing earlier on, Mary, God has made a plan to send his son to earth and live here as a man. And as those words said in John, that actually to know Jesus and to know life in his name. You've all just been given out in that last song a little Christmas tree decoration, or whatever you want to use it for, which has got that verse on it that was shared in the Nativity, a very famous verse from the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the great story that's been told again and again, because to know how great it is and to know who Jesus is to know life. But what's the life that he offers? Right at the end of that final song, we sang these words: children around the world, sing joyfully. We're all part of God's great family. And it seems a bit strange, really, to get to the end of that nativity where we thought all this stuff about Jesus and suddenly be talking about being part of God's family. In some ways, it doesn't seem to connect with what the rest of the story has been about. Some other words that we heard, though, said this: Emmanuel will be the name of this sweet baby boy. Emmanuel, God with us, let the earth be filled with joy. The Bible tells us, and we just heard, we were reminded of, that Jesus is God with us. That God loved us enough that he wanted to come and walk the earth with us and be alongside us. At Christmas time, we usually, most of us, want to spend some time with our family. We may well have made plans and tried to work out how we can be with different parts of the family at different times, or maybe we face the kind of dilemma of which side of the family you're going to be with for Christmas Day and try and work out the negotiations on that, because at Christmas we often want to be together with family. Yet we also know the truth, and it's easy to find the statistics, that actually at Christmas we tend to argue with each other more than any other time of the year. Maybe you've known something of that. But there's more arguments around Christmas than any other time. And sometimes, perhaps, as we come into Christmas, although we want to be with family, sometimes, perhaps, we can find ourselves feeling a bit lonely. Sometimes, perhaps, we're not as close to our family as we want to be. Or perhaps when we actually start spending some time with each other, we realize there are divides between us. Or maybe this Christmas we face it knowing that there's a family member missing who we'd much rather were with us for Christmas Day. Through Jesus, God comes close to us. Through Jesus' birth, God comes near. Through Jesus' death on the cross, God makes us part of his family. It says this in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. That through Jesus, God comes close and makes us part of his family. That actually this greatest story that's ever told becomes our story. That actually as we come and we believe in Jesus as our Saviour, we get invited into the family of God. That God becomes present with us by his Holy Spirit. And God becomes as present with us as he did with that first family. We think so much about Emmanuel, God with us, when we come and we think about Mary and Joseph and Jesus. But God says he'll come and live in us by his Holy Spirit. That we think a lot, we look at that picture of Mary, Joseph and Jesus and we see this family. But God says he invites us in. He invites us into his family. That as much as they were a family, he'll be a family of us as he makes us our children. This is the greatest story that's been told. It's the story that's been told for 2 million years, because it's not just a story of something that happened 2,000 years ago, but becomes people's story today as they discover God with us. And so maybe we might respond with the angels and say hallelujah and praise his name. And maybe we might respond like the shepherds do and go and spread the word of what we've heard of this child to others today. That it might become the story of others and our story that continues to be told for hundreds and even thousands of years beyond now. I think Kath's going to come and lead us in prayer. Heidi's going to come and lead us in prayer. Thanks.